Well, since it's Lent, I'm going to give a confession of a guilty pleasure that I have, and it's something that I've been doing for quite a while now, and it's something that I didn't realize until I started talking about it to other people that it's something that a lot of other people do. It's a fairly common thing in our day and age, and it's something I'll call real estate fantasizing. Okay. And so real estate fantasizing is basically where you use these websites out there like Redfin or Zillow, which allow you to look up any city that you like, just about any city in the U.S. and sometimes all over the world. And you can plug in some parameters, you know, your price range and your number of bedrooms and whatever you're looking for, and it'll pop up a list of every piece of property that's for sale in that place, and you can look them over. And you've got pictures, and you've got descriptions, and all of this stuff. And I am in the market for buying some property here in San Diego, so it has some practical purposes, but it's also a really great waster of time. 'Cause you can go down some rabbit holes, let me tell you, looking up things. I found one of the things that I end up doing, I'll have a conversation with somebody and end up talking about, you know, where they're from or where they grew up or something, and I'll go, I wonder what real estate looks like in Iowa City. And then I'll start looking, and, you know, you start looking at these different properties, and you go, wow, I wonder what it would be like. I wonder what it would be like. Because inevitably, as you probably know, anywhere else in the country, just about anywhere else in the country, you can get this beautiful, gorgeous house for what it costs, basically for a dingy closet here in Southern California. And so your mind starts to wander, you know, what would it be like? What would it be like? And you picture yourself in that house and, you know, the big yard and all of that stuff. And what would it be like? But then I'm brought back to reality when I think about what it really means to uproot yourself, right? To pick up your whole life, everything that you know, and start over somewhere else. It's not an easy thing to do. And personally, I've done it way too many times in my life already. And I'm sure that our veterans can probably relate to that. That's pretty much the way it goes when you're in the military. Knowing what a major and even traumatic experience it can be to uproot yourself, to uproot your whole existence, gives a particular significance to that story we heard today from Genesis, that little short but very powerful story about Abraham. And when I was much younger, in my early 20s, Abraham's call was sort of a paradigm story for me. When I heard Abraham's story, I said, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to follow God's call to some unknown place and just go. I was more than happy to leave my hometown behind, pack up and go to somewhere new when I went to seminary, which I'll give you full disclosure. My choice of where I went to seminary was based on being a part of a Southern Baptist church at the time, so I was pointed to the nearest Southern Baptist seminary, which was Golden Gate Seminary in the Bay Area near San Francisco. But I said, I've been to San Francisco before, but Golden Gate had another campus in Vancouver, Washington, which is right next to Portland, Oregon, and I said, I've never been there before. How about I go there? Good reasoning, right? And it was exciting to do that. And as a young person, not without the deep, deep roots, it was a lot easier to do. But now, when I think about that, I realize just how much Abraham was really being called to give up when God told him to leave his country and his kindred and his father's house. Abraham wasn't just giving up the familiar. He wasn't just giving up the things that he knew. He was giving up security. He was giving up being part of something, being part of a clan, a tribe. You see, God's call to Abraham wasn't just to leave the land that he knew. It was to go out and make himself into a stranger, to make himself into the other, a person who doesn't have any tribe or place to call home. They have to rely on the generosity and kindness and grace of others. And they have to trust deeply that God's grace will be leading them into these unknown and unexpected places. And so, fittingly, for the spirit of Lent, we recognize and we read that Abraham was called to be a sojourner, someone called on a journey. Because in Lent, we reflect on how, as followers of Jesus, we too are on a journey. And we might be wondering sometimes if we have a place and a people to call home in that journey. Some Jewish scholars tell us that in that passage from Genesis, that word go that God gives to Abraham should actually be translated as go for yourself, or even go to yourself. It's as if God is telling Abraham the only way that he can truly become himself is by going on this journey, is by leaving security and certainty and other forms of identity behind. Abraham's leaving is a way that he can heal and transform himself. And for what reason? He heals himself. He allows himself to be transformed so that he can then transform the world. What does God tell Abraham to go and do? Why does he tell him to go and do it? He tells him to go to this unknown land so that he can be a blessing to others. So let's think about that. What does that mean? What does it mean to be a blessing? How are we called to be a blessing to the people that we encounter? In our reading today from Romans, Paul connects Abraham's call to be a blessing to his faith in the presence of God, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that do not exist. It's not that there was anything particularly special or notable about Abraham, other than his trust that this presence would follow him wherever he ended up going. This is part of the way that Abraham becomes a blessing. He lives his life as an example of a new way of being in the world. Abraham steps out in faith. He leaves behind the need for certainty. He leaves behind the need to be part of an in-group. And through this journey, he points to God, who is making all things new, who welcomes all people. Again, he first allows himself to be transformed, and then by this, he becomes a sign of transformation for others. So maybe this is part of the way that God is calling us to be a blessing. Another way we might frame this question, especially as we journey into Lent together, is what is God inviting us to do right now? I fear that sometimes we can miss these invitations, because sometimes we're looking for something so specific that fits our expectations instead of what God is actually inviting us to become. We like to talk in church about these great church words like vocation and discernment. And don't get me wrong, discernment is very important. I talk about it a lot. It's important when it prevents us from acting entirely on the emotions of the moment, right? But there is such a thing as too much discernment. Too much discernment, which a lot of times involves our minds, and too little presence, which involves being there, being present with our spirits and our bodies, that can lead us into what has been termed paralysis of analysis. You may have heard that before. And let's face it, the truth is, sometimes it's easier to be in discernment than it is to take decisive action, right? We can delay the inevitable, that fear of failure, with those simple words like, I'm still praying about that. I'm in discernment right now. We need to be able to be open to where the Spirit is moving right here and now and be willing to act, even if that means doing something different than what we're used to. This is what Jesus, I believe, is talking to Nicodemus about in our gospel reading today, where when he says, "The wind blows where it chooses." Now, there's been a lot of wind blowing around us lately, so I think we can relate to that, right? The wind, you don't know where it's coming from, and you don't know where it's going, and it does what it wants. Picks things up and puts them other places. But what Jesus means here is we can't always predict when and where the Spirit is going to beckon us. We need to make sure we're not so caught up in the details of what we expect that we miss the invitation that is right in front of us. Because it's not always going to look like what we expect. The example that we get from Abraham, our ancestor of the faith, as Paul calls him, is that God is calling all of us to be a blessing by calling us from our place of complacency. God is calling us into a new way of being, of this dynamic presence that can't be caught or turned into a formula, any more than the wind can be harnessed or tamed. And yes, that does involve some uprooting, and uprooting can be scary. But it can also lead to something so much better. I thought of this last week as I was working on our garden plot. I went to clear out some of the weeds around the garden plot, and then I noticed that there was a little seedling of lettuce. The lettuce plants that are growing had, you know, found its way outside of the garden into the ground next to it. And so I was really careful and went and I dug up that little seedling and I planted it back into the garden plot. I had to uproot that little seedling. But now it's planted in much more fertile soil. And it can grow. And its leaves can be a blessing to us. And its seeds can spread and be even more of a blessing, grow even more blessing. And so as we together follow in Abraham's footsteps during this season of Lent, during this season of journeying and uprooting, let's remember that God assured Abraham that God would show him this new place he was being called to. God doesn't uproot us and leave us without any kind of guidance, just blowing in the wind, but asks that we trust in that leading of the Spirit. And following that leading requires us to pay attention, to hone our spiritual senses, and be willing to find grace even in those moments where we expect it the least. That is what our practice of Lent is all about. So let us continue together and support each other on that journey as we discover what it means to be a blessing to others. And I pray this with you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.